If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. And we're going rapidly through the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm still right there in the middle of it. I'll just tell you a little. Interesting, funny, humorous story that I've been studying Luke chapter 22 and preaching Luke chapter 22 and studying Luke chapter 22. And the beginning of the week, I said to my wife, I said, I've got a good message for Sunday. And I said, I'm even going to order some pencils. And I'm going to have the text imprinted on the pencils, really good. And Allison just kind of chuckled. She says, it's the beginning of the week. She says, you know how this is going to go. She says, you know by the end of the week, you're going to be somewhere else. Well, I am somewhere else. I'm back in Luke chapter 22. In my devotions, I was off in another spot, and I said, wow, this is good stuff. I mean, the Bible is good stuff. But the Lord said, no, I want you to come back to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, because this morning there's something. It's simple, but it's important, and it's very practical. And it's important for you and I as we live. Because the Bible says we're to live and walk by faith. We're to live and walk by faith. But this morning I want you to see how that comes down into a very practical aspect of your everyday life. Because someone might say, well, how do I live by faith? I get up in the morning, I go to work, and I come home, and I do this and that. How do I live by faith? What does it mean to live by faith? What does it actually mean to live by faith in a very real, practical, everyday sense of the word? And so I want you to turn to Luke chapter 22. And I want us to read, now bear with me, we're going to read verse 33 and verse 34, but as we do, I want you to notice something. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 33, the first three words, and he said. Look at verse 34. And he said, verse 33, and he said, verse 34, and he said, right there is the battle in your life for how to live by faith. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And he said, verse 34 says, and he said. We'll get into this after we pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the very precious word of God. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would take your word and make it simple and plain to us, that it might help us to live by faith in thee. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to start by taking us back to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17. If you weren't here Sunday night, you missed a wonderful, simple, good, practical message. Pastor Donnie's been preaching on how we are blessed, what it means to be blessed. And in Jeremiah 17, we were looking at Jeremiah 17 in verse number 7, in verse number 8. He also went to Psalm 1. But in Jeremiah 17 and verse 7, the Bible says this. Well, hold on a second. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 7, the Word of God says this. Did you catch that? Whose word? Whose word? God's word is true. God's word is tried. God's word is faithful. And so when we read verse 17, this is the word of God, not the philosophy of men, not the thoughts of man, not the writings of man. This is the word of God. This is what God says. God says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. That's the word of God. That's the truth. That is the fact. That is the reality. That is the word of God. God said that the man that trusts in the Lord is blessed. That's a simple statement, isn't it? Very simple statement. And I'm thankful that God makes it simple. God says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. And then it goes on to describe it, as was brought out wonderfully last Sunday night in a very clear, simple, elegant, proper English way. For he shall be, in other words, it wasn't me preaching. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So it says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. And Pastor Donnie preached from verse 7 and verse 8. Wonderful message. Went over to Psalm 1. About blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. But you know what's interesting is, it said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. You say, Pastor, how many times are you going to say that? Well, until I get it. But what does verse 9 say? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. And it goes on to describe that. And then right off it says, and the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. In other words, you can't trust it. So now go back to Luke chapter 22, and let's see how this works out in the life of Peter. Because in Luke chapter 22, you have two individuals saying something. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 33, you have Peter. And Peter stands up, and Peter says this, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Verse 34, and he said, or Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now let's just stop for a moment. Let's just, because probably nearly everybody has read the rest of the story. We all know the rest of the story, right? We all know the rest of the story. But at this moment, without reading any further on, with it, if in this moment, you have two individuals that made two totally different statements, two opposing statements. Peter said, I am ready. Well, let me just make sure I get it right. Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. So over here you have Peter saying this statement. And over here you have the Lord saying, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now let me ask you a simple question. Which one happened? Which one came to pass? Peter said, no, I am ready, I am willing. In fact, he vehemently said it. In fact, in Matthew, he says, I don't care if everybody else is offended and leaves you. I'm not leaving you. In Mark, he vehemently said it. Peter says, I'm ready to go with thee. I'm willing to die with thee. And the Lord says, Peter, you're going to deny me this night. So ask yourself this question. Once again, ask it again. I'm going to ask it 1,000 times this morning. Who was right? Who was right?
James.
Who was right?
James.
I'm going to say this till everybody says it. Who was right?
Jesus.
Jesus was right. Jesus was right. Now let's stop and consider. Why do we got two different opinions here? Oh, wait a minute. Not two different opinions. Why do we have two different statements here? Why do we have two different... You see... This is the battle of our life, folks, right here. This is the battle of our life. Because many times we live over here with Peter in our thoughts and our minds. And yet the Word of God says this. You see, it all goes back to that Jeremiah 17 thing. Which is the word of the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Lord, I am ready. I am ready. I'm willing. Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. There it is, folks. You see, the difference is this. Peter was living by his emotions and his feelings. The Lord was speaking the truth. And you see, the difference is this. God has given us emotions. Right? He's given us, that's part of life. That's how we connect with life. Right? You might have come in this morning and you're tired. Right? How many are tired? How many are honest? How many are cold? All right? How many of you are dishonest? Right? Our emotions many times are brought about by circumstances. Why are you tired? Well, if you're a teenager, you're tired because you stayed up later than you should have. If you're an adult, you're tired because you worked harder than you should have. No. But our emotions, many times, are motivated and brought about by circumstances. I had to go to Essex yesterday. And boy, I had to go to Essex. But I allowed my emotions to also direct me too. Now this wasn't bad, this was good. But I let my emotions direct my path. Because I knew that if I was going down to Essex, I also knew that just a few miles out of the way, there was a place called Wayback Burgers. And boy, did they make a good Philly cheesesteak. And I let my emotions direct my truck. It's amazing how that works. When I got done in Essex, I came, and instead of going north on 95, I went south two exits. Amen. And I went south, and I pulled into this place, and I got out, and I went in, and looked at that picture on the menu. And boy, I knew my emotions were, I mean, I knew that, oh man, it was good. But those emotions caused my direction to change. Home was 95 North. Way back, Burgers was 95 South. But you see this? Understand this. When it comes to living by faith, faith is what is supposed to control our life, not our emotions. When we allow our emotions to control our daily life, that's when we wind up in trouble. And we walk by faith. And this is the battle that we face every day. Because we have emotions. Circumstances bring about emotions. I woke up this morning. I'm tired this morning. I'll tell you, I'm tired this morning. I'm tired this morning. And I'm sitting in my chair, and to be honest with you, I'm sitting there and I'm saying, I got to get up and preach. But I'll be honest, I wasn't really enthusiastic about getting up and preaching this morning. Oh! It's reality. It's reality. And then I get a text from my good friend Paul Schwenke. It's a great day to preach the Word of God. And I said, yep, it is. And so you know what I had to do? Even though I'm tired, even though I am what I am, I had to get up, had to put my clothes on, grab my Bible, come down to church and say, you know what? I'm going to preach the Word of God. You know, there's times when I come in and, boy, I'm all fired up. I'm excited. And there's other times where I got to do what I got to do, right? You know why? Because of what God says. Now I want you to notice that. We're going to look at verse 33, and we're going to look down through. And actually, we can go home right now because I gave you the message. We go home and get warm. But anyways, look at verse number 33. He said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and death. Well, what brought that about? Why? Now, we could just say, well, you know, Peter's proud. It wasn't just his pride. It was all the circumstances that led up to that that got him all emotionally excited and worked up about it. You know, I mean, you come down through and you read chapter 22 all the way down through, and you come down to verse number 29, and the Lord says, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed to me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And when you come down to verse number 33, you can see Peter getting all wound up. Peter's getting all wound up. Just like people get wound up at a football game when they get 10 yards. Right? And Peter's all wound up. He says, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I remember one night I walked out of this auditorium. And I know it was Paul Schwenke had been preaching. I walked out. I was all fired up. And I walked out, and I stopped. And Pastor Hunt's standing there. And I says, boy, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be a pastor. No, you're not. Just like that. No, you're not. You know, I went home and I thought about that. My emotions got me all stirred up to think that I was ready to be a pastor. And Pastor says, no, you're not. And I said, you know what? Maybe he knows something I don't know. He knew a lot that I didn't know. But you see, Peter was all worked up. And he let his emotions control him more than what the Lord said. He let his emotions get a hold of him. He let his emotions control his life. He says, I'm ready. And the Lord stood there and said, Peter, you're going to deny me. Peter vehemently says, I'm not going to die. I'm ready. Now, look down, without going through the whole account, go down to verse number 54. Because by the way, Peter said, I am ready to go with you. Boy, Peter's all fired up. You know why? Because the Lord is right with him. Right? The Lord's right with him. I mean, Peter had been with the Lord so many other times, and wow, everything worked out great, right? Everything worked out beautiful. And the Lord's telling them, things are going to change here in a little bit. I'm not going to be with you. And so you come down to verse number 54. Then they took him, or took Jesus, led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. You know what happened? Peter's emotions failed him. If you're living by your emotions and you're living on your emotions, they're going to fail you. Your emotions can't sustain you. They're not meant to sustain you. They're part of your life. A very important part of your life. God gave us emotions. But we're not to live by those emotions, and those emotions will fail you. And all of a sudden, Peter, earlier he had been with the Lord in the upper room. Now, he's by himself. And not only is he by himself, but he's faced with threats, and he sees what's going on, and all of a sudden, another emotion takes control. Fear. And all of a sudden, that emotion gets the best of him. And he lets that emotion control him, and that emotion causes him to say, no, I don't know him. Three times. And you see, when we live by emotions, our emotions will bring us up high, and then our emotions will cast us down around on the rocks. In one moment, we'll be all up here. The next moment, we're down here. We're over here. We're over here. And we're like the ship that's tossed on the waves of the storms of the sea. That's not what God wants. And then look what happened. Verse number 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord and how he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And all of a sudden, and all the Lord Jesus Christ had to do was just turn and look at Peter. And when Peter saw the Lord, and I don't believe by any imagination that the look of the Lord was anything but tender, loving compassion for Peter. And when Peter turned and looked at the Lord, look at what it says happened. What did he remember? Look what it says. He remembered the word of the Lord. He remembered the word of the Lord. And all of a sudden, Peter remembered what the Lord said. But too late. Because tragedy had already struck. Too late. Because he had denied the Lord three times, just as the Lord said. Too late. And the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. He went out and wept bitterly. Was he forgiven? Yes. Was he restored? Yes. Did God use him? Yes. Wonderfully, marvelously. And that's the great ending of the story. But is that the way we want to live? Is that the way we want to live? That today I'm going to let my emotions control me? Even though I know that this is what God says, I'm going to let my emotions control me, and I'm not going to live by faith. I'm not going to live by the word. I'm going to let my emotions control me. And then when the house comes crashing down, and then when tragedy strikes, and then when life is a mess, I'm going to go out and weep bitterly. But the reason I'm going to weep bitterly is because I'm going to realize something. I'm going to realize that because I live by emotions and because I didn't live by the word of God, this is where I wound up. Now, I'd like to tell you that it's easy to do. I would like to tell you that it's easy to do. I'm not saying it's easy to do. I'm just saying it's the right thing to do. In 2022, let's just put it from the reality of the lives of pastors in the ministry. In 2022, that's what we're in now, right? 2022. There's a lot of pastors that are still standing firm in the ministry. But sadly to say, there's a lot of pastors that aren't. And every one of us pastors know why. And it's been discussed and talked and just thought about by pastors as we've gotten together and talked about it. And it's come down to this. That just as the last 3 years was stressful for everybody else, it was stressful for us guys too. And probably every pastor in the world went through it and had to come to this conclusion. I'm not going to let my emotions cause me to quit. I'm not going to let my emotions drive me down the wrong road. I'm going to simply trust God, and as hard as it is, as difficult as it is, I'm going to stick with what I know God says to do. And there's so many pastors today that I know that have simply said that thing. The only reason I'm here today, in 2022, the only reason I'm still in the pulpit, the only reason I'm still in the ministry, is because I went in this direction, not in this direction. And I didn't let my emotions, I didn't let the fear, I didn't let the tiredness, I didn't let the discouragement, I didn't let the frustration, I didn't let all those things of all that's gone on in the last 3 years get the victory in my life. And there's not one pastor that will tell you it was a piece of cake. That's one of my favorite phrases is a piece of cake. I'll tell you this. Being in the ministry these last 3 years wasn't a piece of cake. Not at all. It was broccoli. And I don't mean the good end of the broccoli. I mean the stalks. I remember one time as a young person, I was over at my friend's house and they had a Sunday dinner. They were cooking up this big meal. I was just a teenager. And they put broccoli on the plate. You know what I did? I took my knife and fork as that plate rolling around, and I cut all the tops off of the broccoli and put them on my plate. All the good stuff. And I passed the plate on. And my friend's mother said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going for the good stuff." You know what she made me do? She made me put it all back on the plate. And I had to take the good, and then she made me take some of the bad stuff. She says, and I don't remember her message. I don't remember, I got it. I know it now. It'd be nice if life were all chocolate ice cream. But sometimes it's, well, whatever. Well, vanilla's okay. But you know what? We got to live by faith. We got to live by faith. Because if you live by your emotions, you're going to wind up weeping. Bitterly. You live by faith, you wind up coming through the storms. Which brings me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Here's where the battle is, folks. We all have emotions. We all have feelings. Circumstances change them all the time. There's a few people in the house this morning that are willing to talk about baseball. The majority of us don't want to hear anything about it. Okay, setting that aside, that you don't care about sports at all. But you know, both the Red Sox and the Yankees fans all are in the same boat right now. We're done. Right? And Derek's back there smiling. Right? Derek's in there. His day will come. Whichever way it goes. But how much emotions affect the way we live? And how much faith is supposed to give us the victory in our life. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. If you war after the flesh, if you try and fight the Christian life after the flesh, you will lose the battle. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. Through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And here it is, bringing into captivity every thought. Well, I don't feel like it. You see, I've got to take that thought, and I've got to take that thought, and by faith, I've got to lasso that thought, and I've got to drag it over here, because I've got to bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean in reality? That means this. I take this right here, and I open this right up here. And I read this, and I say, this is what God says I should do. and I do it. I don't feel like it. I don't want to. Then walk over here and weep. Now, I'm not going to go into any details of anything the Word of God says, lest anybody say, Pastor, you're picking on me. Because I am picking on every one of us. Because this is the truth. And every day I've got to get up, and I don't want to get up. I tell you what, tomorrow morning, you know what? I can tell you right now what your pastor's going to be like tomorrow morning. I do not want to get up. I want to sleep in. I don't want to answer my phone. I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to be by myself. You said it, John. And you know what, John? Stand up. Because you know what you need to do, John? You need to say, you know what? I'm not going to live over here. You got that, John? All right. You need to say, I'm going to go over here. That's the reality of it, folks. Simple, isn't it? No, it's simple. I didn't say easy, Jeannie. I said simple. It's simple. It's simple. When you lay it out that way. But now go back to Luke chapter 22. And let me show you how difficult it is. And how the only way that we can do this. The only way we can do it is, number one, by faith. But what did Jeremiah 17:7 say? Blessed is man that trusteth in who? The Lord. Not only trusting in the Lord in what God says, but in trusting in the Lord for the grace and the strength to do what God says. Because I can say, I'm not going to let my emotions control me. I'm going to live over here by faith. And now I have to say, Lord, I need you because I can't do this on my own. Amen. I need to live by faith and by the empowerment of God's grace. Because I'm frail, I'm weak, and I'm so prone to living over here. And I need to live over here by faith, by the grace of God and the strength of Christ. Because go to Luke chapter 22, and we won't look at Peter, but look at the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ was facing the same battle to a greater degree. In verse 39, he went out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples all have fallen. So when the Lord is facing the battle, what does he do? He prays as he was wont, as he was his habit, as was his custom, as his life. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there the Lord knew the reality of the battle. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. You see, when we come to the realization of this matter of living by faith, and when we say, I'm not going to allow my emotions to control me, I'm going to live by faith, and we pray, God will give us the strength and the grace to do it. And the Lord, God strengthened his son with an angel from heaven strengthening him. And that's what we need. That's how we live. That's how we live. Because the Bible says in 1 John, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And it all goes back to last Sunday night, I'm telling you. It all goes back to that message last Sunday night. Because Pastor Donnie put together Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. Blessed is man that trusts in the Lord. And he put it together with Psalm 1. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord does he meditate day and night. Day and night. And what does the devil do the best at? Keeping you and me from being and living in this book right here. It's his most strategic warfare. He says, as long as I can keep you out of this book, I've got you living over here and not here. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So you know what your pastor does when he doesn't feel like doing what he's supposed to do? You know what your pastor does when he doesn't feel like doing what he's supposed to do? I got one answer. That right there. And I sit down and I say, you know what? Since 1978, when I started really living by this book, more and more I say, you know what? I'm just going to go back to this. And now, this is honesty time, reality time. There's a lot of times when my emotions are messed up and I don't feel like it, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, I don't want to. And I say, I know that I need to get in here, and I start reading this. Now, don't have a heart attack on me, because I'm the pastor. You know, there's a lot of times I read this, and after about 15 minutes, I'll say, oh, I didn't get anything out of it. Whoa. Did my pastor just say that? Uh-huh. You know why? Because it takes a lot of time for this to cleanse your mind and your heart and get to working. And there's times where I sit there and I read 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 and I read. There's times where I sit there and I say, I don't know. So you know what I do on times like that? You want to know what I do? John, you want to know what I do? What? Yeah, exactly, John. You're picking it up. All right, good. I love John. So that's what I do. I keep reading. And I keep reading. And I keep reading. And I keep reading. And after a while, all of a sudden, it works. You know why it works? Because it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. So, folks, the message is simple. I don't know where it came from. Message is simple. Live by faith. Whether you feel like it or not, walk by faith. Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Live by faith, not by emotions, not by feelings. They're a part of life. I understand that. I agree with it. I know it. I go through it just like you do. But if we're going to win the battle for the Lord and a victory in our life, we have to say simply, emotions are a part of my life, but the Word of God is my life. And I'm going to let the Word of God control my life and bring every emotion, every thought, every imagination of my heart into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's where the victory is on the daily basis. That's where the victory is in the workplace. That's where the victory is in the home. That's where the victory is in the ministry. That's where the victory is in the life, in all aspects of life. When we understand and realize and live by the Word of God and not by the will of man. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank for your word. Lord, I pray. Oh, Lord, I pray and simply ask that you would just sink your word down to the depths of our heart. Lord, that we'd understand it and that we would live it. That we would allow the word of God to control our life. That we would live by faith and obedience to your word. And that every thought would be brought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. For thou art God. You are our Savior. This is your word. It's true. It's tried. It's tested. It's faithful. It is the word of God. Help us, O Lord, to live by faith. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.